Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olivier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. And you're back with Divine Intervention. Last time we tried a South African gin. Today we are changing both the character of what we try and the geography of it. We are going to Portugal, and we're going to try two wines from Portugal, which have been recommended by one of our guests today. Before I get to her, I will quickly say hello to our food and wine guru, the palate and the nose, which makes the Cape so proud, Michael Olivier.
Thanks, John.
Michael, great to chat to you again. In the studio, we have Debbie van Vlijmen from Wine Cellar. She's the one who recommended we try these two wines, and I'm sure that if you mention our name, she'll give you at least a 1% discount if you want to buy them. We have leading economist Mike Schussler from economist.co.za. Mike, great to see you again. And one more time, we have from clientele Malcolm McDonald. Malcolm, great to see you. Okay, without any further ado, the first wine we are trying is a white. It's a Vino Verde, a style of wine which I'm sure many of us are already familiar with, but I didn't know this particular label. I'm sure I'm going to mispronounce it, Michael. Muros Antigos.
Yeah, and the Escola part means a reserve.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, this is made by a chap called Anselmo Mendes, who is regarded as one of the top Vinho Verde producers. This, of course, the Vinho Verde is the green wine of northern Portugal, grown up north of the Douro River, and made for the seafood that you get along that wonderful coast. I mean, a glass of this and a bowl of goose barnacles is about as quick a way to heaven as possible. This wine is fresh. It's made from grapes that we really don't know here, Alureiro, Aveso, and, of course, Alvarinho, which is becoming planted here. There are a couple of people who are planting it already. It's unoaked. It's dry, and it's very sort of youthful with this wonderful grip and dryness, and it really has got a lovely sort of ending to it, which is just perfect with fish and seafood. The thing that I like about it, I mean, Wine Cellar never ceases to surprise me the way they bring in these really top wines. It's 105 rand a bottle. I mean, you can hardly not afford to go and buy some.
Well, I can't afford to go and buy some at the moment, Michael, but maybe Debbie will give me credit. Who knows? Before giving me credit, tell me what you like about this wine, Debbie, and why you thought we should try it today.
So for me, it's all about the texture and it's all about the minerality. In the past, we've often thought of this region as being either fizzy or slightly sweet and sometimes really nastily green. But Anselmo Mendes is pretty much the king of Vinho Verde at the moment. And he is doing all sorts of experimentation. He, in fact, makes quite a range of these wines, treated differently. In this case, it's got just a very short amount of skin maceration. And he's using a bit of large oak barrels. He talks about lees aging and making wines really naturally that are an absolute expression from where they come. So I think these wines really do speak to that horrible French term of terroir. I think you get that better than anything else in this particular wine. It's got a really lovely stone fruit, nectarine, peachy kind of quality with a lime zest. It will take it to any seafood pairing and makes it a great partner for food.
Mark Schussler?
Yeah, I think this is a wonderful wine. I like my Chenin Blancs. I think this is a bit different. It's definitely got a longer lingering taste than a Chenin Blanc. And it looks clear. I know people can't see the bottle, but the bottle is very, very interesting, I think, in itself. It would make the most beautiful stuff on a table. And I can really see this going beyond seafood. I think this will go, for me, with some of the lighter curries that one could make. Maybe not a heavy meat like lamb, but certainly a chicken and prawn curry or paella, I can see that. as a nice pairing, and I think it's a nice summer wine. It really does taste very, very nice to me.
I agree with you on that, Mike. And just a plate of Mozambique prawns,
beautifully cooked,
a bit of garlic. For me, this is more a food wine. I would probably chill it a bit more than we're drinking it now if I were just to drink it on its own. Nothing wrong with that, though. Mm. But what do I know? Welcome, McDonald.
Very, very tasty. Plenty of interesting flavours going on in that wine. It's not a grape, I recognise. Obviously, it was interesting to hear that it's a different varietal. So, I can only imagine with seafood it would be absolutely delightful. The prawns sound delightful with it. It's definitely a wine I could drink. Definitely.
Well, I see you are drinking it, so well done. Well done on that one. Okay, Michael Olivier, moving swiftly on, we now have a slightly confusing label on a wine because it's got lots of African-looking animals. It's called Ubuntu, but it's from Douro in Portugal. Explain. Yes.
Look, Dirk Nieuwpoort, who is the maker of this wine, is part of that original group of what became known as the Douro Boys, where they started moving away from making port wine and making dry red wines using the classical port grapes. Dirk is an absolute character. He's a massive football fan. He's fun to be with. And this was a wine which he made to celebrate the World Cup, the Soccer World Cup here in 2010. And then he got a Stellenbosch artist, Leonora van Staden, to draw the label. That sort of postage stamp style label is fairly typical of Dirk's stuff. But here you have a wine that has been, some of it has been aged in used French oak barrels for about 12 months or so. It's got the most wonderful color. It's sort of edging on translucent. When it hits the nose, you've got this incredible sort of roadside brambles. I had some fresh mulberries yesterday, and they reminded me so much of this wine. It's got a sort of sweet brown spices, and you know, when you open that box of tea, you get that lovely sort of tea thing as well. It's got a lovely, lovely volume in the mouth. It's got some little bit of mineral going on in the background there, but great acidity, and I like the soft tannins that are there. But the wine is sort of harmonious right from the beginning, right the way through to the end. You have this lovely long aftertaste fading away.
Well, Michael, for me, this is okay. It's really not my type of wine. I find it a bit too aggressive, a bit too fruity. Maybe if you were to cellar it for a few years, it would settle down a bit. Nothing wrong with it. Certainly, I wouldn't want to glug away at it all evening unless I was having it with food, and then I think it would be a very good accompaniment to
great
red meat of any kind.
Great for some Portuguese-style dishes with sort of tomato and herbs and mushrooms and sort of gutsy flavours.
Yeah, or maybe some cheese even. I think that would work well. Debbie?
So I think it would be fair to say that not only is Dirk a larger-than-life character, he has a love for South Africa and a fondness for what we do here. He has actually made wine here. He and Ibn Sadi made a very, very special sweet wine from the Swartland. And I think that this is his passion, but made in an arena that I think is perhaps a little bit for earlier drinking and will definitely reward you with a little bit of aging. I think it's great with food that's spicy. Mm. I think a little bit of chorizo, some regional cheeses, I think will give this one a bit of added dimension. But I do think it's got that really lovely wild fruit character to it that is common in the region. And it's one of many absolutely beautiful wines that he makes, but it's at a really affordable level as well. So easy on the pocket.
Malcolm McDonald.
This is got so much potential to be delightful. I really, really like how interesting the flavors are and how rich and sort of broad the amount of flavors are.
That's a great word for it, rich.
Yeah, it is. It is very rich, and at the moment it's maybe a little bit too powerful. I agree. If it settled for a bit, it might be just amazing. But it's certainly my style of wine. I really like how interesting the flavors are.
But yeah, no, I'm with Malcolm on this one. Sorry, John. I do like this wine. I know it tastes a bit young. I get that sense. It's got something that needs to mature, and I think. I think I've seen this in my local pizzeria, and I think we've had it there, but not sure, but I can say that I think for a cheaper pricing point, this is a really, really good Vino Tinto, and a Vino Tinto is never meant to be quite as smooth, so it is something that you do have with more spicy food, I guess, and I can agree with you that it needs to go with food. But I'd like to say, if you have a palate and you like a bit of chilies or you like a little bit of stronger stuff, then this is a very, very good wine.
Excellent. Well, having heard the thoughts of our panel, Michael Olive here, do you think there's room in South Africa? We make so many great wines ourselves for imports from Portugal.
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, they've got something like 800 indigenous grape varieties in Portugal. I mean, I co-wrote a book on Portuguese wines a couple of years ago, and I spent 15 days in Portugal researching, and the wines are so different in taste, and I think that's half the charm. You know, if you enjoy drinking wine, if you enjoy drinking South African wines as I do, it's quite fun occasionally to taste something different. And certainly for me, having been twice to the Douro, having met Dirk Neerput, I have a sort of a minorly emotional attachment to this wine. Forgive me.
Michael Oliver, I thought that was a very good word you used. You spent 15 days researching. Now, yeah. if all research was as alcoholic as no doubt your meanderings through the Portuguese vineyards were, then I think we'd all do a lot more research. But that's just an aside. Debbie, final thought. Are you happy that... we got the chance to taste two of your vast selection, these two from Portugal.
Absolutely delighted. I think that Portuguese wine, like South African wine, is very much in the international crosshairs at the moment of the wine world. And it's a great example of being able to produce terrific quality wine at reasonable prices. And I think this will reward drinking now, maybe even slightly chilled from what we have it in our glasses, because it's a warm day in Joburg. But I think an excellent example of what's out there.
Final thought, Mike Schussler?
Well, mine is a very final thought in a different way. I'm sure I've had this wine because I see from the other label here. And they served it with ice. They, at the pizzeria where I go to. So they bought you a bucket of ice. And that seems to be a bit more of a Mediterranean way of drinking red wine, and I think that also suits our style here in South Africa, because I'm always told that European room temperatures are not South African room temperatures, so it's okay to put a piece of ice in your red wine.
I don't like diluting my wine, but if you'd like to do that, I'm not going to shout and scream at you. I'd rather have a bucket next to me and keep it cold the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we'll do that next time, but their buckets are small.
Well, my
it's a cheap pizzeria. What do you think I go to?
There's a Portuguese restaurant that I like a lot, or is it a Spanish restaurant? Anyway, they serve much rougher red wine than this, alongside a Coke. And if you're drinking the red wine, you do a mix of those two. If you're drinking the white wine, you put a bit of Sprite in it. I'm not saying that this is a way to worship a nice wine, but there is room for all sorts of wine and all sorts of people. And I'm very glad that we had a chance to visit Portugal today. Thanks a lot to Debbie for bringing along the wines, and to Michael Olivier in Cape Town for introducing them. Michael, always a pleasure.
John, thank you.
And to our studio guests today, Malcolm McDonald, Mike Schussler and Debbie Finn-Flyman, thank you very much indeed. Hope to see you soon.
Pleasure.
I'm John Fraser, and that was Divine Intervention.